InfoWars has been shouting from the rooftops for 3 decades that there is a war for your mind.
This is America. MSNBC, the answer to protect America? What's their answer? Domestic CIA. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. I could go for 100 hours here and not cover it all.
That wasn't merely excellent branding. As it is 2026 and the normies are finally listening, a chilling CIA document just dropped into the public eye, exposing the agency's twisted blueprint for total mind control through covert drugging ops.
A few days ago, the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, took millions of CIA files that were declassified over a decade ago, but never digitized, never put out to the public, so just the National Archives and released them. Total vindication, everything I'm talking about. These people are psychotic demons. They're at war with humanity. They're at war with free will.
Project Artichoke from 1951 to 1956. The Cold War nightmare where CIA spooks hunted for ways to chemically hijack human behavior, force confessions, and bend the human will without a trace.
In 1953, while attending a CIA retreat, a scientist working for the agency drank a cocktail that had been spiked with LSD. His name was Frank Olson. A few days later, on November 28, 1953, Olson allegedly committed suicide by falling from the window of a New York City hotel room. 41 years after his death in 1994, Frank Olson's family decided to have a second autopsy performed. A forensics team discovered injuries on the body that were most likely caused before the fall. Following lengthy legal proceedings, Olson's family was awarded a $750,000 settlement and a personal apology from President Gerald Ford and the then CIA Director William Colby, and the person named for administering the LSD to Frank Olson was none other than Sidney Gottlieb, by this time known as the Black Sorcerer and Dirty Trickster.
They wanted substances that could be slipped into food, water, booze, cigarettes, vaccinations, and injections to dose entire populations undetected, creating long-term psychological torment like crippling anxiety, deep depression, hopelessness, or outright agitation.
There is a tyrannical organization calling itself the New World Order, pushing for worldwide government, a cashless society, open borders, total and complete tyranny.
Artichoke pushed hypnosis, sensory deprivation, gases, aerosols, oxygen deprivation, and every psychological trick in the book to break minds and compel people to act against their own volition, potentially even committing crimes while staying blissfully unaware.
You know, what the CIA really dreamed of was sort of like a drug you could give to someone, get them to commit all sorts of unspeakable acts, and they wake up the next day and they don't remember what they've done.
The American Intelligence Agency had paid for a series of brainwashing experiments under a project codenamed MKUltra. The tests were conducted in secret in the United States and in Canada at a mental hospital attached to McGill University. Experimental drugs, including LSD, were administered to human guinea pigs.
Regardless of the catch-all go-to conspiracy theorist moniker to explain away the possibility of this recent culture of mass shooters being connected to the CIA's MKUltra program, it is obvious that the guns cannot murder anyone without a psychotic madman behind the trigger. So one cannot help but look to a possible motive. And every time these possible MKUltra-tied shooters point the narrative towards themselves, it distracts from the government's corruption.
The United States government has perfected a technological capability. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. There would be no place to hide. The technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny.
This resurfaced declassified file from 1983, now going viral, proves the deep state's obsession with controlling thought and behavior never stopped. It just evolved exponentially. From Artichoke's covert labs to MKUltra's university and prison sub-projects, the propagandized hypnosis to the chemtrails and mandatory vaccinations.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
In key positions, it's pedophiles. You're saying, okay, you're taking this out of context. You know, government loves us. Where do you think the pedophiles go? Because let's admit it, the UN kills hundreds of thousands of kids every year. You know, they get caught all the time. You know, there's 3,500, nothing compared to them. And there's slave brothels and the slave centers and the 1.2 million women they're kidnapping and shipping out of Eastern Europe and Central Europe. And that's mainstream news. I'm sure you might have heard about that. This is all giant UN slave brothels. They've got slave liner ships. That's been in the news. And you don't believe me? Fine. Okay, don't check it out. This is all documented. I don't care how horrible it sounds. It's all documented. I've covered it all here 100 times. We're now hearing about 700 missing in Georgia, thousands missing in California. And the government, no one's held accountable. Okay, we don't know where the kids are. We took them from homes. We don't know where they are. And then I predicted, and rightfully so, there'd be a lot of news articles in Florida. Well, they found some of the kids. And I thought they'd say we found 2,000 of them or something. No, we found 5 of them. And when I get up here and say that pedophile rings are one of the biggest cults or guilds running Washington, that's just what the facts always show. Coming up in the second hour, former state senator John DeCamp, who did write about connections to Penn State and child abuse in the 90s. I had forgotten that he'd talked about this. Then I saw a Red Dirt report a few days ago. With quotes where he'd been talking about it years ago. Just amazing, the massive child abuse network ring at the highest levels of the Republican Party. He was hired as a big Republican in the state of Nebraska to go basically investigate it and cover it up. I mean, they didn't say, hey, it's real, go cover it up. It was, hey, this is a bunch of bull, Senator DeCamp, go prove it's bull. And so the police investigator he hired, the detective, well-known detective, he and his son's plane was blown up when flying to Chicago to investigate. And the rest, there were indictments, there were convictions. The feds swooped in and covered it all up. So you know about the Catholic Church, know about Penn State. I mean, what about the Texas Youth Commission? All the major youth facilities with gladiatorial fighting, the jail guards selling even 10-year-old children out, in the juvenile correctional facilities to police and judges and people coming in and other wealthy who are part of the pervert club, part of the demon club, to have their way with children all over Texas. The Texas Rangers found out and tried to stop it. They got told to back off. The head of the DPS refused to kill the investigation. He was just removed. So the pedophiles rule Texas as well. So they call the shots. And they're everywhere. They like to get into government control because it's the only place they can operate with basically diplomatic immunity like the UN. During 16 years in office, a former state senator, John DeCamp, was cited even by his enemies at the World Herald as one of the most effective legislators in Nebraska history. A highly decorated Vietnam War veteran in 1975, he initiated Operation Baby Lift, which evacuated 2,800 orphan Vietnamese children. He is currently a practicing attorney in Lincoln, Nebraska. He served as a lawyer for the militia of Montana, a constitutional militia group in the 90s. DeCamp has also been lead perspective on Conspiracy of Silence, an unaired documentary on the Franklin child abuse. Well, we aired it. We got it and aired it locally on Access 15 years ago, and it since went viral online. That's where that people always say, have you seen this? Yeah, I've seen it. I'm the one that put it out. He joins us now, and here's the Red Dirt report. And when I saw this weekend, it punched me. I was like, I remember him saying that. But since it hadn't been in court in the news, I'm like, let's not go there, Senator. But I remember him getting into Boys Town before that all came out, the Catholic Church. I remember him getting into Penn State. And I remember him saying on air more than 10 years ago that the football program, and I'm like, and I know he's credible, but I'm like, okay, Senator, let's just stop. Folks, by the way, have dug those interviews up now. I'm like, let's just stop right there and just get into what was proven in court. Because people went to jail in Nebraska. He was hired as a big Republican because, you know, to go in and disprove it. They're like, oh, this couldn't be true, Senator. You go disprove it. When his investigator, a police officer, and his son got murdered, the senator started to look closer. So he's going to recap all that. So he was hired as a prominent Republican and a senator to go in there as damage control because, you know, he didn't believe it was real and found out it was all real and more. I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murdering scum that run giant death factories, keeping babies alive and selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green-looking skin, either black or white, doesn't matter. And they run around screaming, we love Satan, we want to eat babies. I have them on video at the Texas State House, just women randomly going, hail Satan, and just praising Satan. When a Democrat group went up there. I mean, folks, this is literally like a demonic invasion. I'm telling you, that's what it is. Or Epstein, who is at the center of the pedophile island. I don't cover modern slavery to lessen the horrible transatlantic slave trade that killed millions of people, tens of millions of people, enslaved hundreds of millions in the aggregate, or the Arab slave trade that was even bigger, or the Roman slave trade, or the Chinese slave trade. I mean, every culture's done it. Doesn't mean it's good. We as a culture said, this is a bad contract. We don't like this. We're not doing this. But the type of slavery now is kids and women of every race, color, and creed.
Good morning and happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal Workshop. You're all on board with us today. A lot happening today, like a lot. Looking forward to seeing what's going on in Congress. I've got a lot to dive into on that front. Oh, man, Hillary Clinton will be making her way to give her, sadly, closed-door testimony. It's going to be a deposition. She's expected to give this before the Republican-led House Oversight Committee. Now, again, folks, this is all in regards to you-know-who, Jeffrey Epstein. And we're going to talk a lot about Epstein today. As you guys recall, we just played a little clip of Alex Jones, who was one of the original individuals covering all of this. It's crazy because, as many of you know, they tried to dismiss Jeffrey Epstein and all the allegations against him as conspiracies, but time and time again, they are being proven true. We've got more evidence of just that in just a moment. We're diving into all of that. And as many of you guys also know, Bill Clinton is expected to be giving his deposition as well. That will be tomorrow. So we look forward to that. And the depositions, because, you know, we have to be nice and friendly with the Clintons, apparently. I don't know why. But the Clintons will be doing this out of their New York home today. That's according to several reports. Again, James Comer, who is the chairman of that committee, was speaking earlier today on Fox and was trying to say, we're going to finally get them to answer some questions on Epstein. Now, hold your breath. Just kidding. Don't do that. The reality of it is I have a bad feeling that we're not going to hear much. I mean, you and I both know Bill's not going to say anything. And Hillary keeps downplaying her involvement in all of this. She pretends like she wasn't friends with Ghislaine Maxwell. In fact, we know that she's pretending this because, well, we have the clips. She continuously is going out there and pretending like she doesn't know Ghislaine Maxwell. But Ghislaine Maxwell was invited to her daughter's wedding. Now, how many of you invite a stranger to your child's wedding? Probably not many of you. So it's the new effort that many on the left are trying to do. They're trying to distance themselves from the Epstein scandal. But we all know that they're all caught up in it. And that is the reason why they are trying their very best to politically pivot from all of this and shift blame to President Donald Trump. And speaking of President Trump, before we go into the Epstein files, his schedule is kind of booked today. At 9 a.m., he's expected to participate in an executive time. Don't know what that truly means, but they keep putting that on the schedule. It's a new thing. At 11 a.m. Eastern time, they have him also participating in his intelligence briefing. When that begins, we will bring that to you. Right now, it's labeled as closed to press, but sometimes these do go public, and we will let you know if that does happen. And then he also, at 3 p.m. Eastern, has a private meeting added to his schedule, which is obviously closed to the media. Now, folks, when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein, again, they all tried their very best to cover up for him. They all did. All the top people, those at the DOJ, The DOJ is where the corruption actually truly begins here, because there were state level investigations into Epstein. We've talked about the New Mexico one, which they say were shut down because they didn't want to they didn't want to create a chaotic scene with their investigation on a state level and the DOJ's investigation. That's what they said. That's what they said. There's also proof of that also in Florida, too. But it's getting so bad that they can't cover it up. Now, like I mentioned, obviously, Hillary Clinton is expected to be testifying today. And Jonathan Turley over at Fox was actually speaking today about that testimony in clip one. Take a listen.
The obviously most attention is with Bill Clinton, who was on this plane of Epstein at least 16 times. There are some very embarrassing photos that have come out in these files. But today, Hillary Clinton will face some equally difficult questions when it comes to their global initiative and foundation. Epstein seems to have played a role in helping the Clintons in that area. And also, Hillary Clinton had a relationship with Maxwell. And while both of them have tried to distance themselves as all of these files came out, Maxwell was invited to her daughter's wedding. So this was not a arm's-length relationship.
Yeah, they want to pretend like it is. But we all saw Ghislaine Maxwell there. The photo proves just that. The photo proves just that. By the way, folks, earlier this morning, President and CEO of the World Economic Forum, Brende did resign from his position. As many of you guys know, he is the former Norwegian prime minister and this foreign prime minister, I should say. And this is just one of the many layers to the latest that we keep seeing. I mean, obviously, they're all trying to distance themselves from this. He claims to have no guilt in regards to participating in the sex acts, the crimes that were being committed by Epstein. He's just claiming that, yes, obviously the documents reveal and expose him for having three business meetings with Epstein and exchanging emails and text messages, but claims no wrongdoing there. Now, this is one of the many who, again, of course, are trying to distance themselves. They've been doing this for far too long, but now they're being exposed. They don't want to be exposed, but here we are, and they don't like it. Now, the WEF is allegedly investigating, okay, so whatever you're... If that means anything to you. But that's what's underway right now. Now, of course, over these last few days, we've seen a lot of individuals not get arrested, but also kind of distancing themselves from the Epstein scandal, but also apologizing. As we reported yesterday, Bill Gates admitting to having two affairs with two Russian women, though. He says women, and he apologized for that. But the reality of it is again, we've seen the emails. According to Epstein himself, there was more to that. There wasn't just women, wasn't just two women. Now, again, all men are claiming that they never saw any wrongdoing. Of course, they just like to hang out with Jeffrey Epstein because they all needed money from Epstein. And that's what he gave them, was just money. You'd have to be an idiot to believe any of that, but they're hoping you're just as dumb as they are. Let's shift gears a little bit to the autopsy. As many of you guys know, the circumstances surrounding Epstein's death was obviously very controversial. Why? Well, because... like I've reported exclusively, the Board of the Bureau of Prisons is saying we don't have any of his recordings, his final phone call that he made. And as many of you guys know, I reported that I submitted a FOIA request for that recording. The federal government turning me down, saying that they actually didn't have that recording. Again, that's extremely strange. And I'm someone who speaks to folks in prison quite often. And I could promise you that as soon as you answer that call, it tells you that the line is being recorded. So it's strange that just hours before his passing, they weren't recording that call. Epstein apparently told guards again that he was speaking to his mother, but his mother had died 15 years prior, so that doesn't make sense. And the reason why that's so important, it's important to know his frame of mind. Where was he at right before he allegedly killed himself? Now, of course, they're not going to tell us that. They don't want us to know. They just want us to buy the narrative. Remember when they released the security footage that you see here on your screen, and there were a couple minutes clipped out of all of it? And then at one point around 10 p.m., I believe it was, you see like an orange jumpsuit go on by. And then moments later, Epstein allegedly killed himself. Again, all very suspicious. But what's even more suspicious is what we're learning about the autopsy report. And yesterday, Fox actually did a pretty good job at revealing some of that information in clip two. Take a listen.
Why would the chief medical examiner have to sign an NDA after examining Epstein's body? Is that standard practice?
This is the first time we've seen this related to a giant case, but I can tell you some things that don't make sense for the medical examiner's office. We know that the chief medical examiner didn't perform the autopsy. She had an individual in her office perform the autopsy. And the noose that was at the center of this, Michael Bodden, the forensic pathologist who was hired by Jeffrey Epstein's brother to observe the autopsy, said that there was no blood on the noose, even though there's blood on Jeffrey Epstein's neck in the photographs. Huh. We're learning from the documents that the guard who cut Jeffrey Epstein down says he's not sure where which noose was given to the investigators. And DNA testing was done. It may have been on the wrong ligature. It may have been done on the wrong noose.
Yeah, so that doesn't seem to make any sense, folks. We all know this. And we're just supposed to eat up the narrative that they fed us and hope for the best. Again, the security cameras they claim weren't working that day. Remember that? Remember that? So we wouldn't actually have clear sight of his cell. Again, you know, the FBI director and the former deputy director said that what they saw in the file points to suicide. Now, the reason why that's so important, I know a lot of people are jumping on and they were going after both the director, Kash Patel, and the former deputy director, Dan Bongino, for just that. But I have been telling you from the very beginning that I have heard that there was pieces of evidence that were deleted in all of this that was done by the previous administration. And guess what? Guess who's right? I'm right. I was always right. You know why? Because I have great sources. People who are close to the case were telling me that there was pieces of evidence that were deleted before this new administration took over. Now, obviously, that's criminal, one would say. And sadly, still, we have no arrests thanks to the DOJ, which, again, is the one who's really, I would say, is the one who's at fault when it comes to the Epstein scandal itself. The absolute failure of the release of these files is due to the DOJ. Obviously, there's partial blame for the FBI, but I don't believe that's a leadership issue. I believe that's just the bad apples that still haven't been purged out. But hear me out. I told you that there was evidence that was deleted. Now, it's not just relevant to the Epstein files. There's other pieces of evidence that have been deleted. We knew this. The administration that was previously occupying the White House was never going to allow you to see the deep state mess that they created. They created this monster. All of the same characters that were floating with the, obviously, the Epstein scandal. Well, guess what? They were all wrapped up into this. It is all the same situation that we have underway right now. And it's not a conspiracy. We know that they deleted evidence. This FBI knows that they deleted evidence. This leadership at the FBI knows that deleted evidence. And now members of Congress know just that. Anna Paulina Luna was a great woman, by the way, a great congresswoman from the beautiful state of Florida. Well, guess what? She just outed everything. She exposed the deleted evidence. And it's something that many officials were really just trying to dodge speaking about. But she confirmed what I've been telling you about for months now. Take a listen to clip three.
How can they be confident that the Attorney General, Bondi, leading this charge, or others who are in charge of providing documents, that they really will do so in the interest of justice?
Well, I think that, for starters, you have a bipartisan bipartisan oversight committee actually working to cover up, but actually go into all of this, right? We're interviewing the Clintons tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But to be clear, I mean, the destruction of evidence occurred under previous administrations. And that in itself, if you look at the network that was involved with Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, to think that there aren't shady things happening in your government, I think would just be a lie to the American people. The fact is that we did have someone come forward. They did say that there was destruction of evidence under the former deputy director of the FBI. And even if you're looking at the original plea deals that Jeffrey Epstein was given, you know, when he was first charged and then also to more recently when he then committed suicide in New York, I mean, he should have never gotten off. He should have never had his sentences dropped down to the way that he did. Mm. And there are marks of intelligence surrounding this as well, whether it was foreign or, you know, our own. But I don't think that we're ever going to get the full picture.
Yeah, we're never going to get the full picture. Why? Because they deleted it. I'm sure there's someone out there, someone high up within the deep state that has copies of all of that. They wouldn't just delete all of it. They'd make sure to keep the blackmail and make sure the next administration coming in doesn't have access to that. That is the reason why President Trump's name keeps popping up in the files. It doesn't have any legitimacy, but the reason for it all is they wanted to make sure that if he made good on his campaign promise, which was to release the Epstein files, that it was going to create some type of speculation that maybe he had some involvement in all of this.
So this is what we see unraveling right now. And I wish the administration did a better job at delivering the message. I don't see a reason to hide this. Why not go out there and say, once we got into our positions, a lot of the key evidence was in fact erased? Because then the American people would be a little bit more understanding. We demand accountability, though, but we'd be a little bit more understanding and not be so aggressive towards this administration. But they have failed completely. And we're also hearing, obviously, more reports that the DOJ has not actually released all the files. There are reports that just dropped in the Wall Street Journal that there was testimony, three women who came forward, and their claims were not released in any of these files. So while we sit back and we demand accountability, the DOJ is doing its very best to cover for the machine that this administration promised it was going to expose and hold accountable. Zero criminal indictments as of right now. See, this is why the American people are so fired up. If you didn't want a bunch of black pillars going after this administration, guess what? You have to do something. You can't just sit back and allow all this to happen. That's what's going on right now. Those that are responsible for erasing evidence, they need to be arrested. We need mugshots. The reality of it is no one's getting perp walked anytime soon. They continue to just put the information out there. It's like rage bait at this point. Everyone's fired up. Everyone's angry. When you read the details as to what they've released so far, the American people are ready to go to war with the intelligence agencies. There's no way you continue to allow this to happen. They raped children. They murdered children. They tortured children. You don't just move on from this and pretend like it didn't happen. Our government is playing a very key role still to this day in the cover-up. And they just look us all in the eye and tell us, we've given you everything. But they haven't. We know they haven't. And that's why we have people shifting blame. Again, President Trump has nothing to hide. We know that he wasn't wrapped up into any of this. We know that he was on the right side of everything. We know that he tried to help law enforcement go after Epstein. And yet here we are. Pam Bondi was behind the cover-up in Florida when this was all going down years ago. And here she is leading the DOJ now under this next cover-up. And again, folks, this is the reason why it is so critical to expose. Pam Bondi was confirmed, and she was confirmed. It was actually a very cushy confirmation hearing for her. Why? Well, because they didn't ask her really any tough questions. She slid on in. And now you know why. The DOJ is the core of the corruption when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. And again, I've told you, I knew that although I will not 100% say that the FBI is not at fault, I will tell you this. I know the key core issue in all of this for both Dan Bongino, the former FBI director, and Kash Patel was releasing these Epstein files. And they were set up for failure. But it's enough with the talk. It's enough with talking about documents and pieces of evidence being erased. We need arrests. But unfortunately, those arrests don't come if the DOJ doesn't do their jobs. I will not defend what you saw here on your screen, but I will tell you that this was a setup. Folks, we have more to discuss in just a bit, like the lawfare that's being exposed again. In the meantime, though, I want to remind you all to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have a flash sale going on just for a couple more hours right now. Methylene Red is 50% off when you purchase Methylene Blue, and that is 25% off. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and grab some today.
K Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
The stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our Methylene Blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain. Okay. So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you could feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Thursday, everyone. As many of you guys know, we just keep learning more and more about what the Biden regime was doing behind the scenes to go after President Donald Trump. And it wasn't just limited to the President of the United States. They were trying to take down some of his top allies. And they didn't really care. They didn't really care about the PR pushback on all of this. This is criminal behavior. But of course, bear with me. I'm sure nothing will truly come of it. It feels like they give us more and more in the way of information, but it's all just rage bait at this point because we're learning about how the FBI subpoenaed the phone records for the current FBI director, Kash Patel, and obviously the current White House chief of staff. That would be Susie Wiles. Now, this happened in 2022 and 2023 when both of them were private citizens. So, again, why would they do this? Why would they do this? It was a part of their investigation, as they like to put it, into the classified documents case at Mar-a-Lago, as well as the allegations that he tried to overturn the 2020 election. Now, folks, it's not just that. When you look into all of this, it's quite clear what they actually did. They actually were recording Susie Wiles' phone calls with her own attorney. Attorney-client privilege doesn't matter. No. They don't care. And the worst part about it is apparently her attorney knew and didn't even tell her, according to several reports. Now, it gets really, really bad. Like, really, really bad. When you go through the details of all of this, it's quite concerning as to why they did it. And they didn't care. Now, Cash Patel described the actions as outrageous and deeply alarming. Deeply alarming. Most would probably describe this as criminal. But I don't think even Cash Patel thinks that they're going to make an arrest, even though he was targeted in all of this. You see, right now we have a DOJ playing footsie with the deep state because they're too afraid to go after them. How much more of this do we actually need to see? I mean, that's the reality behind this. We've seen enough. I don't know how else to put this. I don't know how many more John Solomon reports we have to sift through. They're not doing their jobs, folks. They're not doing their jobs. And the president continues to praise Pam Bondi because, as you saw during her testimony in front of Congress, when she gets up there, she talks about how great the economy is under President Trump. By the way, the White House, when it comes to the White House, exactly, they really do care about the economy-related issue. That is their key win for them. So everyone knows the part of the administration to drill home the point that the economy is doing great. That's why you saw Pam Bondi doing just that. And that is the reason why she earned the praise of President Trump in a Truth Social post after her testimony. Again, no arrests have been made. No arrest. Don't give me that nonsense that there was three. No. We have no mugshots. Two of those didn't stick. And that was scraping at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the accountability tour. So right now, two of the top officials currently in the Trump administration have proof that they were in fact targeted by the Biden regime. And why was the Biden regime so emboldened to do this? Well, because they know nothing's going to happen. They know nothing is going to happen. Prove me wrong. I would love to be proven wrong on this issue. But these people know that they are still running the show, that this DOJ, this FBI, everyone's operating out of fear. They are too afraid to go after the machine. And so they might throw a couple little local officials who are being arrested, but they'll never go after the top dogs. They'll never go after the top dogs. And they knew this. And whatever was said on those phone calls that were recorded and turned over to the Biden regime, I'm sure it's a lingering blackmail scheme. There's no justification for any of this. There's no justification for any of this. By the way, and you'll love this post, I shared a screenshot on X if you guys caught on to this. But after hearing about all of this, the FBI director apparently fired at least half a dozen FBI agents who were participating in all of this. Now, this is my favorite part. We'll keep this on the screen for a second. This comes to us from all the great journalists at NBC News. The FBI, the direction of Director Cash Patel, has fired at least a half a dozen agents tied to the 2022 search of President Trump's home. Again, it's all tied into the subpoenas that were used to go after Cash Patel and Susie Wiles. But take a look at this line. How are they able to be so confident on this report? Well, of course, six people familiar with the matter told that to NBC. So about a half a dozen were fired and six people confirmed it to NBC. Well, when you look at the numbers, I could only assume that those six people who were fired were the ones leaking to the media. So I guess the FBI director got it right. He fired the six people who are possibly talking to the media. Yeah, those are the kind of people you don't want working for you. Those who will cozy up to the corporate media machine. Folks, and here's the other problem too with all of this. You see, The deep state understood this quite well. You don't fire these people. You actually place them on an unpaid suspension and you keep the investigation ongoing for years because now they have a case to file a lawsuit and go after the FBI. If you didn't do that, you kept them as employees of the agency, forced them out, forced them broke and dried, financially, of course, dry them out financially, you would essentially avoid a civil lawsuit. The director knows this. In fact, he was the one advocating for all the key players who under the Biden regime were targeted and they decided to put them on ice. So he knows that was the strategy. He's not using it. He's firing them. Now they're going to have a case. I'm pretty sure those individuals that have been terminated because they're trying to say, oh, they gave us no justification for the termination, which they don't have to do. But now they have a lawsuit that they could file. No, put them on unpaid suspension. Have an investigation that's ongoing. Leave them broke for years. And then eventually they'll have to quit. Because they'll have to be able to supply their families with food, shelter, you know, all the basics. But they didn't care when it was Garrett O'Boyle, Steve Friend, Kyle Serafin. Like, no one else cared. It was just, let them starve. So now under this administration, again, they're just, it's just like an L after an L after an L. And they continue to tell us that they have to play by the rules. The last administration doesn't play by the rules. And we know that they don't care about playing by the rules. Why? Well, there's another report out about that, too. The DOJ sought to brief Joe Biden on their plans to raid Mar-a-Lago before it occurred. Remember, on August 8th of 2022. That's according to a newly unclassified FBI email. So several of them. The internal messages show that the search was deliberately delayed until Biden could be briefed on it. And the White House counsel's office as well, of course. Now, Biden repeatedly claimed, by the way, in case you remember this, he repeatedly said, oh, I knew nothing. I knew nothing. But he did know. He knew. He was briefed on it. He was briefed on it. Maybe just given the fact that he wasn't there in the head, they probably told him and he forgot. But he was, in fact, brief, and the raid was delayed. Folks, this is what was going on behind the machine. We all knew this. You and I both knew this. We've been talking about this for years now. And sadly, everyone's just a bunch of cowards. They don't want to talk about this. They wanted to do nothing about any of this. And it was a well-orchestrated, very well-orchestrated attack. You know, I was listening yesterday, Chairman Loudermilk was speaking about Fannie Willis. And as I reported to you guys yesterday, Fannie Willis was in direct communications with the White House in regards to her RICO case that she was cooking up in Georgia, Falcetti. She was directly coordinating that with the White House. Again, we were told none of this. This was all coincidental. Everyone's independent. Everyone's working separately. Ignore. Look the other way. Look the other way on the Nathan Wade bills, which say I met with the White House and then billed taxpayers for that in Georgia. Ignore that. This was all organic. This was all a bunch of advocates for people not being being held to the same standards that you and I, of course, would be held to. These people are full of garbage, and they're going to get away with it. They're going to get away with it. There's countless pieces of evidence. And we're told, oh, just wait. It's got to go through the system. It's got to go. We're running down the clock here. We're running down the clock here. They keep saying, too, as if we're all dumb and we don't get it. They keep telling us all these little snippets. These snippets about these leaks that go over to Just the News. That's the media outlet run by John Solomon. They keep giving him these little pieces of evidence about the weaponized federal government under the Biden regime. But then when we ask about it, specific cases, they tell us they can't talk about pending and ongoing cases. So whatever you see being leaked to outlets like Just the News, you could just at this point assume, since they're handing it directly to them, you could just probably assume that there's nothing happening here because they can't talk about ongoing investigations. They can't leak those documents. It's just so frustrating. It's just so frustrating that they think we're this dumb that we're just going to sit around and continue to watch what's unraveling and pretend like it's okay. Again, President Trump is being very quiet on the matter, and this is a guy who is well known for speaking out when he feels like his officials aren't doing the job that they should be doing. And so it's a real head scratcher why he continues to sit back and watch all of this as it unravels. I mean, I don't understand why. I'm sure you all at home are wondering why he's not speaking out on this. This isn't like a fringe movement. The vast majority of Americans want people like Fannie Willis locked up in prison. They want Joe Biden in prison. They want every single deep state operative that was doing all of the work behind the scenes in prison. By the way, there's still criminal referrals like that were handed over by James Comer sitting over at the DOJ right now. Auto pen. Statute of limitations not up on that. Nothing's happening. Of course, tell you there's grand juries going on. They'll tell you a little whisper here and there. But these people need to go to prison. There's no other way to look at this. It will happen again and again and again. Let's pivot a bit. We'll go back to the FBI topic in just a second. There's an investigation that's ongoing right now regarding Cuban soldiers killing four people and wounding six others. Apparently, it was a Florida-registered speedboat that was entering Cuban waters. Now, again, this was the report that initially came out. Our own government really doesn't have much in the way of details on this. They tell us that they're going to be looking into it. But according to the Cuban government, they identified the 10 passengers as armed Cuban nationals living in the United States, claiming they were attempting to infiltrate the island to carry out terrorism. That's the claim coming from the government right now. Now, spare me. I highly doubt that 10 people would think that they could take down the Cuban government and would go on guns blazing. Doesn't make sense, especially what we know historically. Marco Rubio is talking out about this right now, and it's been quite interesting to sit back and listen to. In clip four, this is his briefing he gave to the American people yesterday. Take a listen.
So this morning, we were made aware by Cuban authorities of an incident off the coast of Cuba. We immediately began to look into it. As it stands now, the Department of Homeland Security, the Coast Guard, others are involved. The majority of the information we still possess is what Cuban authorities are providing both the public and the U.S. government. We have our embassy on the ground in Havana working this as we speak, asking for access to the people that were on those vessels, if they were American citizens or permanent residents. According to the Cuban regime, the boat was registered in Florida. We're tracking that down. We will know shortly, and we will quickly, many more facts about this incident than we know right now. The majority of the facts are Cubans. We will verify that independently, and we'll, as we gather more information, then we'll be prepared to respond accordingly. I'm not going to speculate, because I'm not going to opine on what I don't yet know, but we're going to find out exactly what happened here, and then we'll respond accordingly.
Yeah, so we're going to sit here and wait for this. I suspect these were probably not people trying to overthrow the Cuban government. Doesn't really make sense. And let's be honest, folks, the Cuban military is not very sophisticated. So it's quite likely that this was just a mistake. And sadly, it cost four people their lives. So we'll have to sit back and wait and see what is said on this front. But again, President Trump has been very, very straightforward with how he feels about the Cuban government and how they are the next government on his radar in regards to going after them to get them to free the Cuban people. I was listening to Rubio yesterday speak, and he was talking about restoring and helping Venezuela's economy. I don't really care for any of that. I understand that Rubio's focus is obviously on foreign policy, but we, the American people, need our situation currently fixed before we could go around and force other countries to submit to the Trump agenda. I want to talk about J.D. Vance, because yesterday he held a press conference with Dr. Oz. It's clip five that I want to play for you. He announced that there's a lot of money that's going to be withheld due to the, the fraud in Minnesota. You know, so many officials look the other way on this issue. And then there's other officials yesterday. I also saw Keith Ellison is pretending to hold press conferences. That's the AG in Minnesota. And he's pretending to care about the issue now all of a sudden, because obviously They're all wrapped up into the scandal itself. But in clip five, the VP detailed his latest plans to go after the Medicaid funnel fraudsters who have been funneling the cash to their own private pockets. Take a listen.
We're announcing today that we have decided to temporarily halt certain amounts of Medicaid funding that are going to the state of Minnesota in order to ensure that the state of Minnesota takes its obligations seriously to be good stewards of the American people's tax money. Now, what is this going to mean? What this means is that, first of all, the providers on the ground in Minnesota have actually already been paid. The state has paid those providers the money. What we're doing is we are stopping the federal payments that will go to the state government until the state government takes its obligations seriously to stop the fraud that's being perpetrated against the American taxpayer.
Hear me out. I've actually been waiting to see the DOJ's announcement. Remember when the DOJ came out and said that they were creating a private division that was going to be hyper-focused on going after the fraud? I still haven't seen who that AG that they named is. And that's the really cliffhanger, I guess I should say, on all of this. They still haven't yet announced that. And $259.5 million is a lot of cash, but that's just scraping the top. I mean, there's so much more to be said there. And again, a lot of these businesses, right, when they're being exposed by these independent journalists, and not all of these independent journalists, by the way, I've seen some of them, they're not doing thorough investigations. And so just be mindful of that. But those that are actually doing thorough investigations, I know Nick Shirley has spent a lot of time on this. I've spoken to people who are close to him, and they said he actually did take a very long time to sift through the information and validate before he went to these businesses. There's other journalists doing great work as well. But they could quickly just change their names and pivot to new businesses. And I'm sure a lot of these people aren't even legally here. I'm sure a lot of these people who were brought in by the Biden regime, I'm sure a lot of those people too are not using their full names, not using their real names. And so they're very quickly shifting over. So it's worth just, you know, keeping our eye on the fraud and exposing what's next there. All right, let's pivot a little bit. I think I'm probably the only one talking about this story besides me and Raheem Kassam, because this is, it's a really important story. And it's sad to me that now I have to report that Democrats are the one that are leading the investigation into all of this. As many of you guys know, I've talked about the individual who was leading the antitrust division over at the DOJ. Her name is Gail Slater. She's an incredible woman. I've known her personally. She worked at Fox previously. I was very excited for her to get the nomination. She was confirmed by both Democrats and Republicans for that position, which is quite impressive. And she's a patriot. She took on this role, took a massive pay cut to take on this position over at the DOJ because she wants to create a better country for her family, for her kids. Well, sadly, she's no longer a part of the DOJ because she was pushed out. We know this. Well, the House Judiciary Committee is now opening an investigation into all of this. And sadly, it's being done by Democrats because this is going to be something that they could use for their political advantage. Ranking members Jamie Raskin and Jerry Nadler are now leading this probe, requesting an immediate briefing from the Attorney General Pam Bondi regarding the forced resignation of the Assistant Attorney General, Gail Slater. Now, she was forced out on February 19th. And I know this. Gail's an incredible woman. She gave me comments after she was pushed out of the agency. And she's a classy woman, doesn't really want to say much, doesn't want to badmouth anyone. But that didn't stop people from going out there and leaking strategically pieces of information for them to go after her with. And if you're wondering why Democrats are looking into all of this, well, there's allegations. And again, I'm not going to even say the person's name because these are all allegations. And it's somebody who I think is a respectable person, somebody who has spent a long time in D.C. politics. But they're accusing it to be possibly a pay-to-play scheme, even though this person wasn't internally working over at the DOJ at the time and still isn't. But he did have clients who were heavily interested in getting some, they use these words carefully. He did have clients that were involved in the antitrust division who had cases over there. Democrat lawmakers are expressing concern over Slater's ousting. Now, this, is coming from, again, Raheem Kassam, who's talking to a lot of key sources in all of this. And they're going to be looking in to see if there really was a pay-to-play scheme going on here. The National Pulse, who's been writing about this, has been doing great reporting on the issues, highlighting the infighting going on right now within the Trump administration's DOJ. And again, Gail Slater is a great woman. And so seeing her personally pushed out of the DOJ, I have to say, was heartbreaking. It's one of the many signs that I do not have faith in the DOJ. And so we'll see what they pull up from all of this. But again, it's just another loss. Another loss. There are so many people who are leaving. Some people who have left. They hit their one-year mark and they're just done. They're done. Because it's swampy in D.C. right now. It's very, very swampy. And it's because, well, there's a lot of money going around. And so we'll continue to watch this, obviously, as it unravels. And I'll bring you the very... It just breaks my heart that I've got to report that Democrats are the ones initiating this. Because we all know why they're doing it. It's for a political win for them. Speaking of money, let's talk to the money woman herself, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi. She said something that gave me a good chuckle this morning in clip six. Take a listen.
And it's the only position, Speaker of the House of Congress that is mentioned in the Constitution of the United States. At the time, I was, too, the highest paid person on Capitol Hill as a woman. That was a big deal. Not that I was there for the money.
The woman's worth, like, what, $400 million? Has one of the best stock portfolios anyone's ever seen. In fact, companies like BlackRock, they keep their eye on her stock portfolio. In fact, I was doing a story, this is years ago, on Nancy Pelosi's stock trading. This is before people were really talking about it. And I wanted to see, was it a massive win? Well, I followed her husband's moves, which are publicly available, by the way. So this is an insider trading. And it was quite impressive. I mean, I tripled my money within a couple of weeks. You got to keep your eye on how Congress is shifting their funds. Those reports are public. And again, if they're not going to stop trading, then you should start using them as your financial advisors. Folks, all the top financial people strongly rely on those public disclosures. So don't leave it. Don't leave out of any of this. Like, make your money. You might as well. You might as well. And again, it's not illegal. Yeah, maybe it's unethical. But it got me a couple Louis Vuitton bags. And I did it as a joke for one of the shows I was producing for when I was digging into all of this and to show how much financial gains I had on all of it. I just sacked up my Louis and said, look at this. This is what Nancy Pelosi could do for you. She won't do anything else, though, but you could at least do this. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have our flash sale going on for a little bit longer. Of course, again, it's all about methylene blue and methylene red. When you pair up the two, you're going to get incredible discounts. 25% off the blue, 50% off the red. Only at thealexjonesstore.com. Head there today.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So Methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. And it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby. ¶¶